Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Yvonne McCoy. Welcome to I'm Ready For Me. And guess what? I'm ecstatic that you're taking this time for you and your business. You know, I'm Ready For Me, the adept living philosophy is living your life as skillfully as you possibly can, being well-trained and a thoughtful person, you know, so continuous learning, lifelong learning is important, you know, and your life doesn't just have to happen to you. You can learn and use success strategies and systems that can consciously enrich your life. And we're really going to be talking about that today. So whether those life choices are about your health, your wealth, or yourself, the results that you want is to create a bolder, more dynamic life. And that process begins with discovering and focusing on what you envision in all areas, you know, of your future success. You know, you want to expand your horizons fearlessly when you have those strategies and systems to handle change, goal setting, problem solving, managing resources, whatever. So the question is, what are you waiting for? You know, you want to have success not just in one area of your life, but your whole life. And I'm ecstatic to take this journey with you. Be sure to click on the like button in the upper left-hand corner, and let's see about getting it done. And if you haven't been to my website, YvonneMcCoy.com, you should do that and download the I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model. So our topic today is, what can you still accomplish in 2015? There are 8 weeks left to 2015, and the question is, what can you still get done? And actually, that might not be the right question. The real question is, what can you accomplish now that will help you have a stronger start to 2016? And I think using systems thinking will help you with that. And like I said, you know, having systems and strategies in your life are going to give you better results. And this is just a way to revisit that. Because with system thinking, you see a bigger picture. You see the whole rather than focusing only on the details of one little particular thing. Actions and events are seen in a much bigger context over time. System thinking is a powerful way to stimulate change. And strangely enough, only 5% of people think this way. Most people are reactive and not proactive. All right, so let's see if we can decide what you want for 2016 and see if you can benefit from taking a systems approach. We're going to take a look at what's going on right now and then some actions that you can take to ultimately have your best year. Okay, so the reason that I thought about this was because I kind of think of myself as a big picture person, but I had a big wake-up call last week. I was recommended for a contract. I've been working very hard to build my business, you know, in 2015, and so it's really starting to pay off. And they asked for a resume. I have a bio, right, but I haven't done a resume, and I don't want to tell you how many years. And to my chagrin, when I pulled out my resume, not only was it outdated, but it wasn't what I was doing. Okay, my resume was for a management position, which is, you know, when I had a resume, what I was doing. It was not for coaching. And it made me realize I wasn't planning very smartly for the future. It made me really stop and take a look at what I wanted for 2016 and how I could get started now. And here's the big thing. You know, like I said, only 5% of people are systems thinkers, so I figure I'm not the only one. Everyone in the world can be divided into those two groups, either event-oriented thinkers, you know, or system thinkers. 95% of people are event-oriented. You know, that means we have a knee-jerk. Something happens, and we react to it. And I have to tell you, the last couple of weeks have been very much like that. It's been really hard to pull myself back and try to look at the big picture and do some system thinking. So I took that opportunity to really take a look and think about not only what I wanted to do, but to think about what my ideal client would be interested in. I wanted to highlight in the resume the things that I wanted more of and took out the things I wanted less of. Okay? And I think that's a lesson that you can learn from. So that's why I decided to share this. It's taken me forever to get it together, I have to admit. I don't know whether it's the change in seasons or just the juggling that sometimes you have to do between taking care of parents, kids, grandkids, businesses. When you work from home, everybody thinks you've got a lot of free time. And so I have to say, October really threw me totally off track. So I have to get back on track in November if I want to get something accomplished in 2015 and even more on track to get things in place for 2016. So this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what is systems thinking. We're going to talk about what are the benefits of learning to think more like that? And then we're going to look at some planning. What do you want in 2016 and how working on it now can help you get that, right? So, you know, there are a couple steps in that. And then, of course, you're going to get an assignment and an action plan. So here we go, all right? Too often when we plan a project, we look at it totally in isolation. I need to get this done, you know? But we don't take the time to think about how else will this help us build, you know, our business or our life. So let's say you're working a project. Did you ever ask yourself, and I've mentioned this before, there are three other ways that I can use this in the future. It could be something to improve your operation or a client's operation. It could be something to give you an idea about your services or help you with resources, okay? In this case, we're going to take a look at how wanting to increase your business at the end of the year can really just be the starting point for next year. What can you do this year that's going to help you with things in your business this year, but also next year, okay? So the question is, what is systems thinking? Well, the whole thing about systems thinking is that it utilizes habits, tools, and concepts to develop an understanding of how independent structures work in a dynamic system, because systems are constantly moving and changing. And when you have a better understanding of the systems, you're able to understand, you know, the leverage points that lead to desired outcome. Okay, by that I mean, if you have an enrollment process, let's say, and you know that you have seven steps that you use in terms of enrollment, you want to take a look at that and say, okay, here's the first one. I have to build rapport. So how am I doing that, right? And you come up with ways to do that. And then you say, okay, how can I add this to my marketing so that people actually have more rapport with me before they even come to me, okay? So what we're going to talk about, you know, the other thing about systems thinking is, you know, when you look at it, if you look at events, each event has a cause, and you're just trying to solve that problem, just trying to fix that, okay? And the difference is that when you look at systems thinking, right, what you want to do is look at not just that problem, right? You want to look at a solution that's going to stop the problem but also fit into the system itself, okay? So what we know is that system thinkers see problems differently, which is why they're that way, okay? They see feedback loops they see that are going to warn them, that are going to get them in a situation where when they see a behavior, okay, they think, what in the structure is causing this behavior, okay, instead of saying this person is the mistake. So to solve the problem, system structure, you know, you have to understand the structure. You have to have a structure so that the feedback loops, you can take a look at them and redesign them and redesign the system, okay? Now, I know that sounds really vague, right? And I think that was one of the reasons that I had trouble figuring out how to present this information, because I think it's really important. But I'm going to give you some of the benefits of system thinking. So if it is at all interesting to you, you'll take a look at it and see how you can put it into your business and your life, okay? So one of the things about system thinking is that just by creating systems, okay, it helps, forces you to think through the process and to improve it. And part of, you know, systems thinking is, you know, the long-term results of it is, if you are an entrepreneur, it's going to help you to bring new people up to speed, and it's going to end up giving you more time because you're not going to have as many fires to put out and that type of thing. So let me say that up front, okay? So creating a system forces you to think through the process. Like I just talked to you about an enrollment process. Now, most of us don't think about that, but it can make such a huge difference. I have been using a questionnaire that I use for enrolling clients, and I find that when I stick to it and I follow it, I get much better results than if I get sidetracked and, you know, really get into the conversation or what have you, okay? So it forces you to put down the stages in the system, and you can see, you know, the pieces that you sometimes forget or the pieces that you tend to not do, okay? So the very act of stopping to think about the process is a huge thing in terms of having a better running business. The second thing is that you are more effective in your planning. Okay, the planning process, you know, we talk about inverted planning where you start at the end. Okay, so this is a great way to work your way backwards through the system of an organization or a project, because you identify the results and the outcomes and the measurements, you know, the tangible results that you want to get, and you take a look and make sure that those processes that are in that system will get you those outcomes. What inputs are required to in the process, okay, to make it work? So a system review makes the planning process much more clear and orderly as you're planning to go through. So that's something to definitely keep in mind as you're looking at 2016. What were the things that worked right? What were the places that you had trouble? Did you have trouble getting products out on time? Did you have trouble scheduling clients? What can you change in that system to make that better? Okay? And, you know, making something better doesn't always mean that you're going to add to it. Maybe what you're going to do is subtract. If you find that you have trouble, you know, that your clients are scheduled out all over the place, then this is a good time to see if you can consolidate them maybe on certain days if that's what you want to do, or consolidate them in the morning if that's what works, okay? So just to see how that, you know, to look at the problem-solving part of it. It also adds to more effective communication, okay? When everybody understands what the system is, you know, going to do and how the feedback is and what kind of communication you're going to get, all right, people are aware of what's supposed to be happening, and they will be more effective than they otherwise would be, because they will know when the steps aren't being taken. If they're supposed to be getting something at a certain time, as you're servicing a client or whatever, and it's not there, they know that there's something wrong. If there's no set kind of standard, then they can't say to you, hey, you know, we're not doing what we said we were going to do. We're falling behind. So being able to have a system that you can clearly explain to people, you know, and that has to do with not just the people, let's say, if you're an entrepreneur, not just the people that you're working with, but the people, the expectations that people have outside the system. So if you say, you know, I'm going to deliver within 4 days, depending on, you know, what it is, I just picked 4 days, and you say that to your customer, I'm going to deliver in 4 days. If it's not there in 4 days, then your client knows that there's something wrong. So it also holds you accountable, right? If you take a look at your system, you're going to be more effective in the design of your products, your projects, and your services. So, you know, I was talking about clustering my clients together. I prefer to work with my clients in the morning or early afternoon. Once we get to about 3 or 3:30, my brain is a little shot. So one of the things that I found that I had to do is for people that, the 10 to 3 did not work for them, is I've started putting in 2 Saturdays, because a lot of people would rather do a Saturday than, you know, it's a lot easier for them. So it makes me work a little bit longer, you know, more days out of the week, but I found that I was working Saturdays anyway. So, you know, what I do is I take off a little bit of time on Monday morning to counterbalance that, but I know what the system is. You know, I know that the business starts at about 11 o'clock on Monday morning and runs to about noon on Saturday, trying to cluster things and keeping, you know, I know that Wednesday's a day that's hard for me to do stuff because I'm on site with a client, all right? So you can actually do better planning with your projects and have more control over what's going on when you have systems, okay? One of the things that I said, you know, at the beginning that I think is so important is that if you're an entrepreneur or owner, you'll be able to take more time off and spend more time on higher value-added items. So if you, you need to change your thinking pattern from working on versus working in your business. Okay, once the systems are created in place, you know, the activities are performed more automatically. You don't have to waste time and energy in performing or actively managing them. And that's a great thing, okay, because that means that you get to spend your time in the places where you're more creative and the places that you're going to, you know, add more value. So, for instance, if you know that You don't have clients on a certain day. That's a great time for you to do, if you're writing articles or you're doing research or doing something that's going to add value, that you're putting more energy into adding things to the packages, okay? So those are like the big in your front one, in your face kinds of results. But the other thing is that your organization as a whole will get better results, okay? You know, you can use a variety of methods to achieve, you know, results. So, I mean, whether you are planning, whether you're, you know, team building, whether you're doing supervisory, whether you're doing, you know, there's a whole host of things you can do. But the bottom line is having a systems view is critical to even knowing what kinds of things you have to do to increase your results. And lastly, and this is a biggie, which we don't think about a lot, is it helps you to have more effective leadership. The most, you know, important responsibility you can have is to set the direction and influence others to follow that direction. And it's difficult to establish a direction for an organization and keep them on course if you don't understand how the organization works in the first place. So without a clear understanding of the, you know, the needs of the organization, the leader can get lost in the day-to-day activities. And that's that knee-jerk, event-oriented kind of problem-solving, okay? Never paying attention to the important stuff, okay? And for an entrepreneur, some of those important things are the marketing, because we're so busy doing the day-to-day to servicing the client that we're not paying attention to the marketing, which is the thing that gets the clients into the pipeline. And so, you know, you end up working harder rather than smarter. And a systems view can help you to really understand the overall structure and dynamics of your business and what must be done to make sure that you are moving towards your goals and your vision. Okay. So that was a lot. Just really fast, you know, to go back and talk about it. You know, systems thinking is understanding the independent structures of a dynamic system. And in this case, the dynamic system is your business. And if you take that out even bigger, the dynamic structure is, you know, your life. I mean, one of the things that I really had to do is say, okay, I'm doing a lot of things for my parents. My brother actually lives very close, and so I have to say to him, you know, these are the things that I need you to do, right, so that I can still have the time to do the other things, like, you know, call the doctors back, to go to the doctor's visits, those kinds of things. So systems thinking is looking at your whole, you know, not only your business, but in this case, because I think you need to have a balance between your business and your life, you know, at everything that's going on, where does everything fit? Okay? The benefits are, you know, that you have, one, it forces you to think through the process and improve it. You have more effective planning. You have better problem solving, more effective communication. It's going to help you with the design of your products, your projects, and your services. It allows you as an entrepreneur to be able to take more time off or to spend more time on high-valued activities to get better organizational results and to have more effective communication, leadership, rather. So the question is, you know, how does this affect me and how do I use this right now in terms of 2016, okay? So the first part is, you know, we always say start with the end in mind. That's Stephen Covey, right? So the question is, what do you want in 2016? And how can you plan for that, okay? What have you got right now that's working, and what do you have to build, and what can you repurpose? So we're going to go into all those things. So, you know, we said that, you know, the first thing is that you have to think with the end. You have to think what the bigger picture is, right? And so, you know, like I said, when I started working on my resume, I was like, oh, this does not reflect at all what I'm doing. And so one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to put into my what I wanted for 2016 is I wanted more organizational clients. I do entrepreneurs, okay, which is great and is a lot of fun, but I also want more nonprofits organizations because there's more stability in that. You've got a business that, you know, when you're taking coaching money out of your pocket and your business is having some problems, you know, the first thing that goes on the list is coaching, even though that's the time when it really should stay there. So having organizations gives a little bit more structure to my business. And so when I got this request to put in a resume for this engagement with on a large project, it was like, yes, I want more of these. I was very excited about this, okay? So the question is, what do you want? And, you know, when you're looking at, changing, which is what systems thinking does for you, all right, part of what you need to change is motivation. And so typically, you know, the question is, why should we change? And the typical response is, to that from a non-system thinker would be, you know, that you want to appeal, you know, to inspiration, right? Or, you know, there's a great amount of fear. You know, if we don't do this, then we're not going to get the results that we want. What you really want to do is you want to show how we can all be responsible for what's going on and what we can do. What can we all do next year that's going to help us to grow? So that's something to take a look at. So the question is, what do you want for 2016? Do you want more clients? Do you want higher paying clients? Okay, and that's the other thing that organizations give me. Okay, do you want residual income, right, or passive income? One of the things that you need to take a look at. And this is a great time to really dream big and say, you know, I've got 14 months to get this done. I've got, you know, more than a year if I start now and take a look at it. And I think that that's the thing that can really help you is that, you know, do you want to shift your business so that, you know, it's not a compromise, but, you know, do you want to do quantity or do you want to do high price? And how are you going to do that? So maybe the way that you do quantity is that you have products that you can sell at a lower price for more clients, but then your actual paying clients, and you want more of those too, are paying a higher amount. Okay? So take the time. It takes a few minutes to do it. It may be something that you start on and, you know, work on for the next couple of days, right? The next step is, what have you got now that's working right? So take a look at that. You don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But if you've been working on some things, you know, the question is, how can you put them together to help you have more of a system? So I had this experience this year when I did the Wellness Professional Success Blueprint. And all the things that that I had independently put together, such as marketing things and, you know, how much you really want to make and the client enrollment, and there were like 18 different things that we put together that I had, you know, had as 18 different pieces that are now in a product, okay, that takes you straight through. So what do you have that's working now? You may have something that you are really, really excited about, and say, what else can I put with that, right, so that it works better? And then you find out, well, maybe if I take, you know, I've got three different things that work really well together. Maybe this is now a teleseminar, or maybe this is a webinar that I can charge for, all right? And then you start planning for that for 2016 so that you've got a bigger picture. Where is your the thing that you're really good at? So one of the things that I learned last year that has a huge amount of value that has really helped me a lot is that although I believe in strategic planning and I think, you know, I try to think big picture, I'm not the person to come in to tell you how to manage your board if you're a nonprofit or to do some of those kinds of things. I'm the kind of person that I can give you good management skills to get through the day-to-day in an organization, to teach you to delegate, to teach you to make, you know, have a way to make decisions, that kind of thing. So take a look at all of the areas that you have that are working right. And you may find that you can start coming up with that passive income that you're talking about, that you can start to use it in your marketing so that you are targeting the people that you really want. So, for instance, Again, when I went, you know, I did a phone conversation about this particular engagement. You know, I just said straight up, I get my clients from referrals. So I don't have a lot of glossy PR material, okay? I'm more interested in being in a situation where I can help people get results than, you know, than just being, you know, flashy. And at the time I was like, you know, this is probably a stupid thing to say. And the person I was talking with was like, oh, that's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody who's really results-oriented. So think about that. If you're going to put the information out, why not put the information out that really reflects you and what you like to do, right, instead of putting out what you think works, right? And as you get better at doing that, you can charge more for it, okay? So the question then becomes, what do you want, you know, what's working right, all right? You like the kinds of clients you have. You like the things that, you know, that they pay well. You like the information. What's working right, and how can you make it better, okay? We talked about in that class that I was telling you about the wellness professional, one of the things that we said was that there are six dimensions of wellness. And I won't go into that, but if you are good at one thing and you have a particular interest in something else, this is one of the things that can make you different. And I talk about this all the time about my massage therapist. I mean, she is a great massage therapist. Not only that, she's incredibly reasonable, but one of the ways that I got to know her was because she did hypnosis. So a lot of times when I'm getting a massage, I'll say to her, give me a thought, give me a, you know, a suggestion that I can think about while I'm getting my massage. And I know that it seems really silly, but it's something that makes the massage and makes the experience a lot better for me. So you're looking at the things that are working well, okay? What can you add to that? If you and when you add something to it, you know, you look at your whole system, right? The different pieces that you have. What are the things that are going to help you to do more in the area that you want to do? So, for instance, if you like to work with people in a certain, you know, that are athletes, okay? So the question is, what can you do, you know, what are you doing now that's working right? What can you do that's going to attract more athletes? It may very well be that you may want to do something for a charity, some kind of athletic charity, right, that you have a chance to go and meet them. So you're doing something that's good, all right? You're also affecting how your system works because you're bringing people in from a different venue than you normally would, right? And you're getting that visibility and credibility to build your business. So what's working right? Is it, you know, do you think your marketing is working right? Typically, if we want more clients, we need to do more marketing, and we need to take a look at that. The thing that people don't think about, and the one of the probably the biggest traps for entrepreneurs is you do a lot of marketing, you market. You know, you get one or two clients, you stop marketing, and then you start working on your clients, and when that time frame is up, all of a sudden you have no clients again. So it's important when you put your system together, how can I market easily on a regular basis and a consistent basis so that even when I get clients, the marketing will keep going? How can I make it easier to do that? So one of the things that I love is that the person that I work with my marketing set my, when I, you know, when I blog on my webpage, that it will automatically go out not only to my list, but it will go out to my Facebook, to Twitter, to, you know, other places. So that happens automatically, and that saves me time, okay? So, you know, you look at the system. You need to market to get new clients, right? When you get new clients, you need to be able to service them, okay? When you service them, you want to make sure that you keep them happy, and all this time you need to still be marketing. So how do you put that together? I mean, some of the simple ways to do it is, you know, I do what I call time blocking, okay? Time blocking is I take a look at what a typical week looks like, and I block out the time for clients. I block out the time for, you know, let's say if on Wednesdays I'm out of my office because I'm seeing a client. And then I take a look and see what's left, all right? And that's the time that I block in for marketing, for writing, for researching, that stuff, so that I make sure that I'm doing it. So it's not unusual for me to put aside an hour or two on Tuesdays to write a web post, you know, a blog post, to research some stuff. I mean, I usually start researching on the weekends for a radio show or for an article. And we're doing Blab now, which is interesting. So I should say to you, if you're interested in getting some great marketing advice, you should tune into it's blab.im/Andrea Stenberg. And we do that on Tuesday afternoons around 3 o'clock. All right. So part of the system, you know, that we put in for the marketing is that we now are doing this weekly 45-minute blab that, you know, we're getting lots of questions. We're attracting people. People are listening to what we're saying. And so this is a regular, we know that we have to do this regularly. So that's part of the system. All right. Then, you know, you add to that, you do a web post, you do the blog talk radio show. And so that starts to add up to different layers that we're doing, okay? And so out of that will come new clients. I mean, every time we do a blab, I see somebody has signed up for my list. And that's kind of exciting because marketing is something that, even though I know how important it is, I have to really, really work at it. All right, so you want to ask yourself, what do I want in 2016? Okay, and think big. You want to see what's working right now, and then you want to fill the gap. What do you need to do between, you know, from what you're doing now to make that happen? So if, do you need to update your client package, enrollment package? Do you need to update your resume or your bio? Do you need to go to your website and update? Do you need to take a look at what's coming up that you can repurpose? And this is, I can't say this strongly enough. If you've been in business, even if you've only been in business for 2 years, there are probably things that you can repurpose. Andrea, who is with me on the blab, she's been in business for 10 years, and she said she went back and she picked articles that got really good responses, and she uses them to post on LinkedIn. When I did the course, I went through, you know, I went back more than 10 years and found some really good worksheets, some really good articles. Some of them I had to update. Some of them I could use them just the way they were. And so see what you've got and repurpose it. You don't have to do everything from scratch. You don't have to, keep doing stuff, all right? You probably have a lot of things that you can use to begin with. All right, so I'm going to just talk a little bit about a couple other things that you should probably do, all right? And they're not necessarily the exciting things, but they are the ways that you can take, you know, advantage of systems thinking to strengthen your own problem solving and your change management. So the one thing to do is to look for opportunities. What kind of opportunities do you think are going to come up next year that you can start working on? These are chronic problems, or things that, you know, messy situations or confusing situations that you can find a way to look at differently and to help to fix. That's where you can find opportunities. And I did a whole show on opportunities. Opportunities, I mean, that's one way to look at it. Opportunities are also how you can work with other people. So the second thing would be, when you're looking, you know, for those opportunities, don't look at just, you know, like the main players, but see who else is affected by that so that you kind of broaden your reach. You know, you look at the whole system. Like, I remember someone saying one time, I was selling a program that helps students get into college. And the bottom line was, you weren't really selling to the students, you were selling to the parents, who then in turn, you know, worked with the students. I mean, you had to convince the student, but the parent was the person who paid for it. So that's kind of a system. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're just going to one person. There are a couple people, other people involved. And typically it was not only it was the mother, it was the father, it was the student, if there were other kids in the family. And so that's where you have to look at opportunities, you know. I mean, so one of the things that was really interesting was, you know, is I used to say, okay, this is your first child. Do you really want to experiment on your first child? You know, the other kids are going to benefit from the mistakes that you make with this one, but, you know, wouldn't you like some help so you didn't make any mistakes? And that was like, that was a biggie because people realized, you know, I mean, that the first child is treated differently than the other children and that you have less time with, you know, and then you have less time with the other children. So you're kind of looking at the family dynamics. That's where you're looking for opportunities, okay? Opportunities that can help with the situation. And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be a big opportunity. I mean, it doesn't have to be a big, you know, earth-shaking problem. But every problem you can solve makes your life easier or makes the person's problems easier. Okay? And the more people that are involved in that, right, that you can, you know, have some effect on, the better off you are. So, you know, it was one thing if you were trying to sell to just the mother and the first child, right? If you could get, you know, align the other people, align the father and the idea that this is going to benefit all the kids, then you're going to get, you know, because you're dealing with the system, you're going to get a lot better results. The other thing that you need to do is you need to generate some data, okay? And one of the things that systems thinkers do is they really track things and they really know what's going on. You know, you make strong assumptions about things, and those assumptions could be very wrong in the long term. And so you need to track it. If I send out, when I send out a blog post, you know, you want to know how many people actually open it and read it. When you do a special, you know, how many people did you send it out and what kind of response did you get and how much money did you make from it? All right. So you want to look at things that you can generate some data from so that with the hard work that you're doing, okay, you can actually make some actual correct decisions. Careful data gathering helps you to make, you know, they're not just assumptions, they actually make sense. And you get to see the different parts of the system, and you get to see how it functions, okay? So find some way that you can collect data. And that's something that's not really natural to us, especially if you're an entrepreneur. You're, like, running around trying to get, you know, you just want to get it done, right? But it could help you to find out that maybe one of the best-selling things you have, you're actually losing money on because it required so much time from people, you know, to take care of it or to, you know, answer all the questions or whatever it might be. So take a look at that. The other thing is that you want to come up with a plan that you can really be committed to, okay, that you can have discussions about, that you really understand what you're talking about, that you can really be committed to. And I think that that's an important thing because you need to be able to express the passion that you have for certain things. So if you have things in your services and stuff that you don't think are great or, you know, streamline. Streamline, get something that you really can take a look at and really get the benefit of it, okay? You know, you have different levels of systems in your organization, okay? And people come into that system at different times and are engaged in different times. And so you need to figure out ways to have interventions, you know, ways to identify and have a sequence that's going to rewire or redesign, you know, if you need to in the systems that you're setting up. So, like I said, if you're the people that are working for you don't know that they should get certain information or they should follow up, you know, if you just say, follow up on this as soon as I give it to you, but sometimes that's 2 days, sometimes it's 5 days, sometimes, it, you know, if you say to them, I want you to follow up as soon as, you know, I give this to you, and if it's more than, you know, if you haven't gotten the information in 4 days, then you need to do some kind of an intervention to fix the system, Okay, which leads us to the next thing, of course, which is follow through. That you need to follow through on the things that you say you're going to do, and the things that you, the goals that you want to set. Okay. So hopefully the system thinking is going to be a catalyst for new changes, okay? And it's going to help you to leverage the existing effects that you have, okay? It will strengthen and help you to make sense out of complex data. It'll help you collect data, okay? It'll help you to identify more effective solutions to chronic problems, okay? And those chronic problems, whether they're just in your business or in somebody, other people's business, is going to help you to grow your organization. So this was not a very, I don't think, a very sexy talk, but I think it was a really important talk. And I just want to give you a real fast example. I gave you one about, there are four major challenges to an organization, which is motivation, collaboration, focus, and learning. And so the question, what I said to you before is, why should we change? And the typical response is that, you appeal to, we're much better than that. We can, or if you don't do that, we're going to lose our job, is the typical response. And from a systems thinking way, you want to help show the responsibility for the current reality. What are you doing now that we need to change, that's going to make us better? Or how can you do something that's going to make us better? Collaboration is, why should we work together? And the typical response is, you tell them to do it. You will work together, okay? But in systems thinking, you want, to demonstrate how their current way of interaction, undermines them, from an individual perspective and a collective perspective. So, for instance, if somebody's not doing their job, it holds up somebody else who holds up, So people have to be much more responsible for their, their performance, okay, in a systems thinking way. This is what we have to do to get this done. For focus, what should we do, okay? And what happens a lot of times is that you tackle many issues independently, and at the same time, and, you're only attacking the systems. So what you want to do is you want to take the time to look at the system, so that you can change just a few things that will change everything, all right? And when you are doing all these different things at different times simultaneously, sometimes you don't get to see what the real problem is. And I just had this with a client the other day where, we were tracking something, and it looked like we were off by one. But what it turned out to be is, when we went back and took a look at it and really tore the system apart, is that there were multiple mistakes, and the net result was one, which was really scary, okay? Learning. So the issue for a lot of organizations is, why bother? And the typical response is that, is to assume that other people are at fault and they have to learn. But in reality, we have to recognize that all of our actions matter, and that we all need to learn, from the consequences of our actions. Okay. Have a big plan. You want to create some urgency and be determined to finish strong. You decide what things you want to, pick something that you want to change. What do you need more time to do? What are you willing to, to do to get the changes that you want? And the big thing is to start with 2016 first. Use that as your end that you are looking at, so that you can come forward and see what you've got now that's going to help you. Okay, so I'm gonna suggest that you really do the backwards planning. Okay, this is the system thinking. All right, do some time blocking as you're putting stuff together, so that you can see where you can have some checkpoints during the week to really follow through on what you're doing, and make sure that everybody knows that this is when we do that. We've talked about the speed of implementation. How fast are you really going to put this to you? So you're going to say, oh, this is a great idea, and before you know it, it's December, and then you say, oh, well, it's too late for December. Maybe I'll start in the beginning of, I'll start in January. But take some time now. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. It just has to be some time. And then the other thing that I think is so important is your confidence loop. The more you do anything, the better you get at it. And so, you know, starting fast and working on it now is going to get you faster results in the end. So in conclusion, you know, all I want to say is that, you know, system thinking, you know, helps you to respect why people don't think they need to change, and to help them to be able to change their mind that they do need to be able to change. It helps to demonstrate why change might be in their best interest. Okay. It explains how people are interacting with each other, how people's thinking and behavior interact with those, and how the dynamics, you know, the dynamics of the experience, okay? And so, and how it doesn't make any sense to blame people, okay? And it suggests what each party can do or what you can do differently to improve, you know, your performance. And so those are some really, I think, important things to take a look at. And last but not least, which I find a lot in small organizations, is I call it personality-driven organization. The other thing that I found, it was called founder syndrome, where a person is really excited about their business. They're really excited about their organization. They pull together, you know, theoretically, you know, a great group of people to work on it. Okay. And what happens is the organization, you know, they don't want to let go. And so it's driven by the personality of that person. You know, and as a result, the founder often struggles to see the bigger picture, you know, and they're not able to plan accordingly and make the kinds of decisions. And the thing that becomes really frustrating is they've picked really good people who have the same, who may really have really great skills to bring to the organization, but because the founder is so focused on their understanding and not on the bigger picture and the importance of planning, those people a lot of times are frustrated, they're, you know, demotivated, and sometimes they actually leave because of that. So systems thinking can do a lot to grow your organization. It can, in the short term, it can give you more free time to do the things that you want, and I think that that's a really important thing because as an entrepreneur, you need some balance so that you've got some free time. So, you know, I always say this is information, but the real question is how are you going to use it, use what you learn, okay? And there's one more than one way to go forward. I purposely make my show less than an hour so that you can have like 10 minutes to write down some action plans and take some time to do some things. And, you know, I just want to say that, again, that the speed of implementation in your confidence loop really comes into play here. That this is something that is really important for you to take a look at and to really get going. And just a quick reminder, like I said, look for the blab, you know, blab.im/Andrea Stenberg. Okay, we've talked about some good things on there that you might be interested in. This week we talked about LinkedIn. The other thing is, if you haven't done it yet, if you haven't liked me on Blog Talk Radio, you should do that. But you should also go to my website and get the I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model, because there's a worksheet in there, I'm Ecstatic to Be, and it will help you to take an even bigger look at your systems planning. We are talking about the year 2016, but if you take a look at that, one of the planning things is, you know, you put in the area that you want to plan. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to plan for was, I wanted passive income, and I wanted to make sure that I had enough income that if I had to step in and help my parents, I could do that. You know, and luckily, I've been lucky so far that they've been able to take care of themselves, you know, financially. And so, but that's something to look at that you need to look out longer. If you've got kids that are of a certain age, one of the things that you want to do is you want to think about planning for college. If your business, if you're of a certain age, do you want to sell your business in 5 years or 10 years? What do you want to do when you hit retirement age? Okay, so there are different, you know, at different points in your life, you're going to have different goals, and it's important to put the system in place to take all those things, so that if you have young kids, you may, you know, your goal may be that you have time to really participate in what they're doing. As they get older, you may want to have your business grow more so that you've got money for college. As your business does more, you may want to financially be able to help your parents, and then you want to be able to retire. So you want to put all of that together because they're all parts of the system, and if you neglect doing that, you may not be very happy with your results. And unfortunately, you know, you think 20 years and – you know, my grandson just turned 5, and it seems like it was a blink of the eye, okay? My parents are 93, so, you know, and that seemed like it crept up really fast, right? So take a look at the systems, not only in your business, but in your life as well. So I'm glad that you came. I hope that you take the time to really put this to work. I want to make sure that your dreams turn into goals and your goals into plans and your plans into specific actions, okay? You know, you want to make sure that you do something differently, okay, so that you can have the results that you're looking for. So for I'm Ready For Me and Yvonne, you know, I'm Yvonne McCoy saying remember to be empowered and design your life for ease and have a formula that works for you. I'm ready for me. I want to be healthy, wealthy, and alive. I'm ecstatic. Be sure you like me. Be sure you download the I'm Ecstatic worksheet. Until next time, bye.